righteousness, and contentment. How interesting to think of contentment at Christmas. We just sung an amazing song, "You're All I Need." So no one needs a Christmas present. No, don't need a Chrissy present. We've all got enough, haven't we? Yes, I can see Tonya there nodding her head, saying, yep, she's got plenty. Got plenty. Now, let me say that today's sort of an introduction to Christmas, just setting the tone. And in the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at different characters. And next week, we're actually looking at a video that's based in Holy Land or near enough to it, and it's going to be based on the response of the shepherd in a very different way, bringing us to the point of the Lamb of God. All right, so I just warn you that we're going to do things just a little bit differently, but just as biblically, let me say. Isn't it interesting that people say, what are you doing for Christmas? What are you doing for Christmas? What they mean is, what are you doing on Christmas Day? What are you doing on Christmas Day? Is Christmas at your house this year? I want to ask, why isn't it Christmas Day at my house every year? Like, why is one day of the year, which is probably the wrong day anyhow, why is one day of the year the day that it should be Christmas? As I say, why can't it be Christmas Day? Yes, every day. I've called this a radical Christmas. A radical Christmas. And I just ask, are we radical enough? Are we radical enough? Have we set ourselves as radical people with a radical... Will your Christmas celebration as a believer be different from your neighbours who may be not a believer? Will your celebration be different? Will there be something different about the way you do things, the way we do things, the way we celebrate? It's interesting, isn't it? Many of us have received cards, you know, Tear Fund, GIA, Red Cross, Flying Doctor. Give a gift that helps in a different way, and that's fine. And that in some way appeases our conscience. But then, for some people, everything right? All right. For some people, food becomes the big thing. Some people, I'm sure none of you, actually have sausages on the table on Christmas Day. Who has sausages on the table? All right, a couple of people, right. Well, this was the menu in 1899, so we're going 120 years ago, in Australia. And they're saying for a normal family, cheese straws, bubble bread and a glass of sherry. Celery soup and then scallop mornay. Turkey, ham, crumbed sausages, roast and boiled potatoes, roast pumpkin, cauliflower, peas and beans. Then there was plum pudding with custard and brandy butter. Then there was fruit jelly and mince pies. Then there was chocolates, fondants, almonds and raisins and a glass of port. That was lunch. And they had the crumb sausages, why? So that they remembered the poor. They were on the table as like a token. We have the sausages and that reminds us of the poor. But we're having scallops, turkey, ham and all the rest of it. Now, friends, it's very easy, I think, for us to give a donation here or give a donation there and whatever, and sort of appease our conscience, a bit like a few sausages on the table that these people put. So I want to ask the question again, what are we going to do that's different? When does the madness of Christmas start? And when really does the joy and goodwill of Christmas end? Or does it never end? Someone said on Thursday at Brighton Light, why does Christmas have to start in July? Why do we have to start hearing songs in supermarkets and other places that early? So who brings about this madness, as it were, of Christmas? Now, I think some traditions in family life are great fun, and I'm not saying we should kill Christmas, we shouldn't kill the fun of family life. Who does something interesting as a tradition at Christmas? Something that's fun. Righto. Believers and non-believers in the family, so they all sing happy birthday to Jesus, yes? Someone else do something interesting at Christmas? Lovely. Thank you, Janet. So everyone else is boring, are they?
No.
Right? No. Right. What else?
I go home.
You're going home. Yes. Yes. We'll miss you. Right. What? You've stood up, Mr. Batten. What are you going to say?
I read Christmas stories to my 21-year-old daughter.
You read Christmas stories to your 20... All right, using the inappropriate voices reading the Christmas story. Well, thank you. That'll distort the truth. Anyone else do something interesting in terms of tradition? You taking your mask off, Peter, to talk? No, oh, right, I thought you were.
We have this Christmas album that we roll out every year from, I think it's Stephen Green or something like that, real sort of bravado kind of. And it's just like, we stopped it one year and all of us in the family were like, why are we not playing this album? We've done it every other year, so we went back to it.
Right, so a Christmas songs.
Yeah.
Right.
Christmas songs.
Yep. What do you do, Lindy? Right. Do they do that in Lebanon too?
Yes. Lots of, not as much, because there's Christmas Eve, so it's a big family dinner.
Dinner Christmas Eve. All right.
Still eating.
Yeah, still eating. Anyone else do anything interesting? Something different? No?
I know Lindy's dad has Fritz and sauce sandwiches for lunch.
Fritz and sauce sandwiches. Well, what could be more South Australian than that for a Christmas celebration? Yes. Well, what I'm saying is, what really, from what was read by Gary in verse 6 of chapter 6 of the first letter of Timothy, there is great gain in godliness with contentment. If we're not content now as a believer, no matter what we receive at Christmas will bring contentment. No matter what present we receive at Christmas. So have we actually been sucked into anti-Christian thinking? Now, it's very hard for those of us who are grandparents and parents to not give presents to grandchildren or even great-grandchildren. But friends, at the same time, we need to make sure that what we are doing fits in with Christian ethos. Ruth, what do you do? Anything different for family? Do you do anything from a Christian point of view that's a bit different? Right. So they would sit the young children down and have gifts and then state that the greatest gift was Jesus, which is a lovely story, a lovely reminder. So what Paul is saying here, there is great gain in godliness with contentment. We brought nothing into the world and we cannot take anything out of the world. How important that is. It's sort of, let's rethink what Christmas is about and what's going on here. Let's remind ourselves that our vision, our hope, our dream, our direction is someone or somewhere else. And let's not blame other people if we're not content. You know, sometimes people say, oh, my father, oh, my mother, oh, my circumstances. But actually, friends, we need to look at ourselves and just say, am I really content with who I am in Jesus? Conversion changes our direction. Conversion changes it from me to God. So what I get, like, I look around, children have gone out. Probably most of us, if we're honest, could say, there's nothing material that I actually need this Christmas. And most of us could eat out of our pantry for a while. There's probably no more food that we need, and there's probably no more gear or stuff that we need. One of our sons had a birthday recently and we went up to his place and we took some cakes on a cake stand. And when we got home, it was night, and I was unloading the car and I put the cake stand, stupidly, on top of the car. And I took in some other things and forgot that it was there. And the next morning, I have to say, I was still in bed and Helen went off early to do something. And I heard this crash and I thought, oh, wonder what's happened. Anyhow, got dressed, went out to look, and here's the cake stand in the gutter, all smashed. So I admitted to it when Helen came home, said, oh, it was our cake stand and that was that. Well, she said very kindly, you can't take it to heaven. No, we can't take the cake stand to heaven. Of course, not in 1,000 pieces. And that's so true, isn't it? There are so many things that, we can't take to heaven. So, friends, how content are we? How content are we? I'm always amazed in telling that story that we have almost the contentment of Mary and Joseph. Like Mary's told, you're a virgin, you're a single woman. It's horrific in your society to be pregnant when you're not married. And yet, she's prepared to say, that's okay. How amazing, because it's God. And then Joseph fits into the picture. Two young kids, probably under 21, and yet willing to say, God, we are content in this situation. So my question to each of us, and to myself, is, am I content with Jesus? If there was no other present at Christmas, is he sufficient? Otherwise, the words we just sang are just a waste of time and they're not true. So we need to make sure that what we sing is true. Someone has written, we in the Western world At Christmas time, spend money we haven't got or earned, and we put on a credit card to buy things for other people, for things that they don't want, and to impress people that we don't always like. It's interesting, isn't it? That we spend money on credit, often money that we haven't got, to buy things that people don't want, to impress people that we don't necessarily like. Yes. I wonder how many presents that we buy end up in the op shop a couple of weeks down the track, or in the re-givable present. Now, friends, why is it that when people talk to us, they say, "What do you do? Where do you live? Or what car do you drive?" Why don't people say, "Who are you?" Or "What do you believe?" Like, why is it the visual things that are important? So if I said, like Steve-O, "Well, I live on the veranda of a church," people would think, "Oh." But if I said, "I'm actually a specialist at the Adelaide Hospital," "Oh," things would change. Now, there's no difference between Steve-O and the specialist at the Adelaide Hospital in God's sight. And I would say that he's quite content out there at the moment. So, you see, we just put wrong values on things, don't we? We distort truth, unfortunately. And friends, we need to realise that as believers, we now are transformed and reformed and renewed. We are now different. So I'd like us all to think, we've got a month before Christmas Day. What are we going to do that's a bit different from our neighbour? Or how am I going to make a difference? So when you're sitting at your Christmas lunch and Auntie Mary says, "What's the year been like for you, love?" What might you say? "Well, actually, as a Christian, God has been so good." Or will you just say, "Oh yeah, okay." We need to take some of these opportunities, friends, because the world needs to know about Jesus. I was talking to someone this week, and they said, "I have no idea what Christmas is about." Now, I found that hard to believe, but I do believe it because I talked on with that person and I understood what they were saying. I have absolutely no idea what Christmas is about. We need to let people know what Christmas really is about. We need to understand and express. This is what Christmas is about. It mightn't be the right date. No. Do you sometimes think it would be good if we as Christians around the world said, "Easter's out, Christmas Day's out, we're going to have a Christian week in September. And we're going to do all of our Christian celebrations in this week of September, separate from all of what the world has made. No Easter eggs and all of it." We can do Easter eggs if we want to at another time. We can do that in the Easter celebration. But what we can do is a week in September when we're serious about God. And we, the Christian church, take God seriously in that week. No tinsel, no bells, no Christmas carols, just a real focus upon the real Jesus. Who'd be with me in that? Oh, I've got a few. Righto, yes, good. So we might make September the week of the saints and do something. But we've been grabbed in to things that aren't necessarily biblical, scriptural or helpful. And friends, we need to make a bit of a stand against that. I don't mean in a nasty way. I don't mean in an aggressive way. I simply mean in a way that says, please God, do something at Christmas that allows us to express that Christmas is about Jesus. Now, here in South Australia, I know in some states religious instruction is still allowed to be taught, but in South Australia it's not. And so I'm well aware that for many, many years since John Dunstan did away with that. And so people are growing up, kids are growing up with quite an ignorance about anything Christian. We're the grandparents. You're the parents. We need to put that into our children in a wonderful way and help them to see Christmas is Jesus. Please, I'm not saying take the fun out. I'm not saying do away with some of the celebratory food. But I am saying let's grab what we really need to grab. Now, on the front of our newsletter today, I've put down a couple of points that are a reminder to us. Oh, I thought I'd put one there. No, it's last week's. Where did I put it? Oh, thank you. Yep, time. I put down those three points. I put down some quotes too, but I have put down three points that come from the reading that Gary brought to us that I think put things back into perspective for us as Christians. The first is in verse 13, and it depends on what translation you've got. In the presence of God who gives life to all things and of Christ Jesus who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made a good confession. I just want to say that we stand in the presence of God too. We are answerable for our attitudes and our actions. So when God gives us the opportunity to express the attitude of my heart and my actions, the expression of that Jesus stood in the presence of Pilate, but we stand in the presence of Jesus. So friends, may our Christmas celebrations be an expression of who we are. We are accountable, I've got there, accountable and responsible to him. So if we just go along with everything else and just pretend, well, look, Christmas is all about this, that and the other. No, actually, Christmas is about Jesus. Let's bring the focus back. Let's not blame the world and say they've taken it and they've made it commercial. Let's reclaim it and make it Christian. Still with fun, still with enjoyment, but it's Christian. Secondly, verse 14 says, I charge you to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, yep, the cake stand was broken and won't be going to heaven. Well, not that one, but I have to admit that last week I went to see a friend of mine who's in a church and they have an op shop next to their church. And would you believe I walked into the op shop and there was the exact cake stand. $5. So that cake stand, that won't be going to heaven either. But the cake stand is returned. Right, Christ's return. What we're saying here is, or what I'm saying is, yep, we celebrate Christmas, but there's an eternal perspective, and that's what we're waiting for. The celebration in heaven will far outweigh the celebration on earth. So again, let's put that into perspective, that one, we are responsible before God for what we do and how we do it. Secondly, Our celebration on earth is only in part, because the celebration in heaven will be much greater. And we need always to separate the eternal from the temporary. Where is our vision? On the big present or on heaven? And thirdly, we think about the greatness of God. In verse 16, God, King of Kings, who alone is immortal, dwells in unapproachable light, who no one can see or has seen. To him be honour. Really, it's just saying, this is the God we adore. And we often sing that hymn, great is your faithfulness. Morning by morning, your hand has provided all I have needed. This is the God we adore. So I don't want to take away the fun of Christmas, the enjoyment of Christmas, the family, the food, everything of Christmas. But I do want to say we're Christians who look at things a bit differently. We think a bit differently. If God is our provider, let's be careful that we don't become greedy. It's easy to become greedy and expect and make out that actually I have a right to get... No, we don't have a right to get anything. It's interesting what we think. I was interested, and some of you may have heard the story, and if Steve-O hears, it doesn't really matter, but a little while ago, Steve-O found a wallet down the street, and he rang the person whose name was in the wallet, and but there was no money in the wallet, only cards. And I saw a van drive in, and I said, oh, Steve-O, you had a visit from someone? And he said, oh, yeah, I found a wallet, and he told me the story. And he said, but there was no money in it, and I thought that the man might have thought I'd taken the money out before I rang up. But he said there was no money. When the man came, he said to Steve-O, there wasn't any money in it. There was only cards, and I'm so grateful to get it back, because cards, by the time you try and work through all the replacement and all. So he said to Steve-O, what can I give you as a thank you? And Steve-O said, nothing. Honesty shouldn't have to be paid for. Interesting comment. Honesty shouldn't have to be paid for. But the interesting thing is the bloke came back later that afternoon and gave Steve-O $100 as a thank you. Now, that was a great lesson, I thought. Here we've got this man living on our veranda, which I think is fine. We've had a couple of people comment that they didn't think it was appropriate that a church should do that. But at this stage, I think that's fine. But I just thought, how honest and what an interesting lesson that a supposedly homeless man can teach us. Honesty doesn't have to be paid for. Now, in a funny way, I don't think he wants anything else. I think he's quite content. And so the challenge comes to us. I know Steve-O isn't strong on thinking about God, but for us, godliness, our standing with God, coupled with contentment, great gain. What more do we want? So friends, for Christmas, let's make sure that we stand in the presence of God, accountable for who we are. We look for the return of Jesus and we make that our perspective. And we know that God provides. As he's done in the past, he will in the future. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we come before you and we thank you that in Jesus Christ there is great provision. We thank you too that in Jesus there is great celebration. And so we are conscious that as we come into this period of Christmas, that we will not neglect who you are. And Father, may we not be greedy or envious people, but people who are content with what we have. Yes, gifts that we receive, wonderful, thankful, delightful. But at the same time, Father, we thank you that we stand in your presence, And that brings us great contentment. We wait for Jesus, and that will be the most wonderful present. And yet, day by day, you are our provider, and we are so grateful. So, Father, may in our relationship with you, which brings righteousness, be linked with our state of being, contentment. And may those two come together, and we know that we have gained more than anything the world could offer. We thank you through Jesus. Amen.